Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for listening in. And I have a wonderful guest who I'm really excited to talk to today. Dawn Maslar is an author, adjunct biology professor, and researcher in the science of love. And for the past decade, she has been using her cutting-edge research to describe how the brain works when two people first meet, start to date, fall in love, and then move on to a more passionate lifelong love. Her new book is titled Men Chase, Women Choose: The Neuroscience of Meeting, Dating, Losing Your Mind, and Finding True Love. Now, I first met Dawn last month at a conference in New York City for matchmakers, dating coaches, relationship coaches, and all love and relationship experts. It was a great conference, and I met some wonderful people who are doing some really good work. And Dawn was one of those people that I met at the conference. In her presentation, she actually made a brain out of Jell-O. Yes, Jell-O, listeners. And then sliced the Jell-O up to show how the brain changes when it's in love. It was hysterical and so interesting. And now, you might think that love and biology have nothing in common, right? But they do. They really do. And today, you'll learn all about the biology of love. You'll even get to hear about Dawn's latest project, which is amazing. It's called the Devotion Test, an instant saliva test that can show a woman whether a man is in love and devoted to her. Wow, right? Welcome to the program, Dawn, and thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. And it was so great meeting you in New York. It was such a pleasure. And I love the presentation, too.
Oh, thank you. I know we both presented our work, and I really enjoyed talking. The conference, too, was amazing. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of great people, and they were just a bunch of sponges trying to, you know, incorporate all the things they've been learning.
Absolutely. You know, lots of great work. Now, before we get to your work, which we will, and the devotion test, tell us, where did you grow up and how did you become a biologist who's interested in love? It seems like, what?
I actually grew up in upstate New York, near Syracuse, very cold and windy, rainy. I think kind of like your background, right? You were in
exactly.
A cold place.
Yes, Minnesota. I grew up in Minnesota. So both cold, snowy places.
Exactly.
So but you're in Florida now. You've changed. I haven't.
I got too cold. I had to move.
Yes, I agree. And so now, you studied biology, became a biologist.
Well,
have you always been interested in love?
The funny part was that I took one of those tests and they told me that I should be an artist. Oh. And I thought they thought I was weird. So I decided to study science instead. So I've always had like a creative side, but I decided to did science because I didn't think I could make a living out of art.
I see. And so then as a biologist, because you were studying science a lot, which I love, by the way, I love the science of relationships and love, as you know. So how do you then decide to study love rather than something else that biology, cancer, illness? Why love?
Bad relationships.
Oh, okay.
I have a history of a bad picking the wrong guys. Mm-hmm. And after I did some work and kind of fixed that, I wrote my first book, which was first titled The Broken Picker Fixer. And
I like that title. The Broken Picker Fixer?
Yes.
That was good. Good. So you write the book, yes.
And I started working with women's groups or women in these groups, and they kept asking the same questions. How does love work? And they would have these books. a lot of them were written by male comedians, which made me a little worried. But there were the best-selling books were like from Steve Harvey and what's that one? That one guy who's also a comedian. And I was like, you know, I wonder if these really are works. So I started researching it because I had access to all the peer-reviewed research in the world as a biology professor. I'm like, I'm going to take advantage of this. And I started doing research on love just to kind of see what it was about to answer those women's questions.
Wow. So, you know, we're very compatible, Dawn, which I actually, we have never discussed this part of your history or background, because I came to being the love doctor in the same way, reading those books by comedians or personal experiences about love and relationships, and then said, wait a minute, I know science. You, Dawn, know the biology of love. So why not write a book? Why not speak to the true facts about love and relationships? And I never knew that. Now, Dawn, whenever I meet someone new or I'm at a large party and people find out that I'm a relationship expert or the love doctor, they immediately tell me, you know, these stories about their relationships, or they want answers to specific relationship challenges. What happens to you when you're at a party and people hear you're a love biologist?
I get the same questions. You're like, the one question I get a lot of, like, is how do you know that they're the one?
Yeah.
Or how do you know you're in love? Those are typical type of questions I get.
And what do you answer, by the way?
Well, I answer that there really is no one. There's one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people are looking for certainty and security, and often certainty and love are not in the same realm. So it becomes difficult to be able to answer that question for them. There's not really a one. You can fall in love several times. And love is not, falling in love is not a precursor for having true love in a relationship, a healthy, happy relationship.
And so what is your perspective on love? How do you define love, Dawn? Is it a feeling? Is it a thought? Is it a biological process? And how is it different than in love?
Okay, well, we can tell from brain scans and also chemical tests, we can tell when you are attracted, you know, when you fall in love. And you saw that presentation where I cut up the brain. We know what happens to your brain when you fall in love. So we can do functional magnetic resonance imagings on your brain, and we can see the deactivation in those areas. And then we can tell when you're in real love by the same type of fMRIs. But this time, the funny part is that now love occupies those same areas that had been deactivated when you fell in love.
Wow. So what you're saying, if I can help listeners understand, on, is that if you look at a brain scan, you can see if someone is in love, and then you can also see, which is almost the opposite, when they are loving or in a love relationship. Is that what you're saying? So it's a brain situation?
Right. When they're practicing love, so practicing long-term love, or we can see people that are in long-term love, they have a distinct brain scan.
So what is love then? Does it cause the difference in your brain, or is it actually the differences in your brain? So when people ask you, you know, what is it, love? What do you say?
Well, the interesting part is there's this like meme that comes out that says love, it starts as a feeling and ends as, or starts as an emotion and ends as a practice.
Okay.
I forgot exactly I can't think of the meme now, but basically what it's saying is that, yeah, it starts as a feeling, but it ends as a practice. So you get that feeling of falling in love or attraction. You can build up the neurotransmitters to fall in love. You fall in love, and that's about a 2-year period of falling in love, what happens to your brain. And then when your brain comes back, you can either stay in the relationship or in practice love, or you can end the relationship. And interesting enough, Dr. Helen Fisher, when she did her original research back in the 80s, she found that the largest portion of divorces occur within that second year of marriage, which is about the time when your brain comes back.
Interesting. You know, one of the things I tell clients is that if that in love feeling does what it does to your brain, right? Mm-hmm. Or that lustful desire, that you really can't see the partner, your partner, or the relationship for what it is. And that it's important then not to make big decisions in that 12, 18, 24 month period, because as you're even suggesting, it does something to our brain waves. It does something to our brains where we can't problem solve very well. We can't make decisions that perhaps are the right decisions. Would you agree with that?
Yes. The brain scan shows that when you fall in love, you lose deactivation activity in your prefrontal cortex, which is the thinking part of your brain. So researchers at Lyndon University found that you actually lose cognitive ability when you fall in love. Wow. But not only that, you also lose part of your ventral medial prefrontal cortex. That's the part of the brain that judges the person. And just as you said, you have trouble seeing the person for who they really are. Right. And then the other part of the brain that tends to deactivate is the amygdala, which sounds the alarm. So even if you notice something wrong, it doesn't register as being a problem. So you're just wow. like... Yay.
Wow. So basically, we should not make a commitment in the first 2 years of knowing someone. We shouldn't move in with them. We shouldn't marry them. And we shouldn't make a long-term commitment. Is that correct?
Maybe not. It's not necessarily, I tell women or men and women that it's before you fall in love, instead of waiting to the end of that 2 year period, is taking the time in the beginning before you fall in love to really get to know the person. And what happens for a woman when she rushes into a sexual relationship, oftentimes she can fall in love quickly. And that's when her brain deactivates. And then she's in this relationship for 2 years. So, or potentially for 2 years. So when in the beginning, when you're first learning, when you're first meeting someone, take your time. That's the big message, I think, is really take your time to get to know them before you allow yourself to fall in love. And for a man, it's the same thing, although he falls in love a little bit differently. But for both of them, I mean, take your time, get to know the person.
Right. Good message, John. You know, when I came home from the conference, I told my daughter that message as well. That's a mom for you, right? Now, now your new book is called Men Chase, Women Choose. Tell us what the book is about briefly.
It's about the four stages that kind of what we're talking about right now. There's the date. The subtitle is Meeting, Dating, Losing Your Mind, and Finding True Love. So the meeting is when you're attraction. It's about attraction. Dating is how your brain falls in love. And I did a TEDx talk on that. And losing your mind is when your brain, that when you fall in love, and that's where I cut up the brain. And then the fourth phase is true love. And that's where you move from that crazy falling in love feeling into being in love or being in true love.
Now, that crazy in love feeling is what a lot of people desire, right? Yes. I mean, it's almost like an obsession, but it is a really exciting arousal producing stage. Do you think people get stuck in that stage? And when they are out of the stage, then they want it again?
They can be, but what happens, like, we see that there's a deactivation of your right hemisphere, and it's a very similar deactivation as we see when people use cocaine. So when you first fall in love, it's like this crazy, like, you know, euphoric feeling. But later on, there's another feeling. There's a activation of your periaqueductal gray area, which is your opioid receptors. So you end up getting this, you still get a loving, feel-good feeling, but now it's more of a relaxed, a healthy, more pain. It has a pain relieving effect. So it's a different type of feeling, but it's still equally desirable.
I like that, Dawn. I like that. So even though one can be intoxicating and arousal producing, when you are loving or in a love relationship rather than in love, you still have a wonderful feeling, pain reduction, euphoria as well. And both can be desired is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
I like that. Now, I know that you and I have discussed your new project together, and you're still working on this project. So listeners, you're getting the scoop before much of the public is. So listen in carefully. This is your chance, because I do think this is groundbreaking, Dawn. Now, you've told me that while researching your book that we just talked about, you discovered a biomarker that you claim verifies love and commitment in men. And the biomarker has allowed you to create the saliva test. Yes. Tell us a little bit more about the biomarker, what that means, and then the test as well.
Okay, well, what we found is that when I told you what happens to your brain when you fall in love, but in addition to that, there's also neurotransmitters that go crazy. So serotonin drops, dopamine increases, endorphins increase, testosterone drops in men, raises in women, all kinds of stuff is going on. And what we discovered is that in men particularly, we can trace what happens to him. And what happens to a man is that certain neurotransmitters go up and down, and they stay that way as long as he's happy in the relationship. And they will only change if he's contemplating a divorce. So if because of that, we were able to make a biomarker that when we see this pattern in his neurotransmitters that we find in his saliva, that we can say beyond a shadow of doubt that he is happy in a relationship and committed in the relationship.
Is it happy or is it committed?
I'm sorry, it's committed, yes.
It's committed. And does the test only work on men? And if so, why?
Well, the current test we have only works on men because of the particular biomarker that we found in what happens. Unfortunately, women, you already know this, women's neurotransmitters and hormones go up and down a lot. They fluctuate a lot. So it makes it more difficult to get a pattern with them. But we're going to continue to work on it. But the men were easier, and we could get a distinct pattern. And it's backed up by research out of University of College of London, Loyola, University of Pisa in Italy, and Harvard University. So we've got all the research that backs this one up.
Let's talk about a specific situation so we can all understand what you're talking about. Let's say we have a man and a woman, and they've been together, they're living together for 2, 3, 5 years, and one morning she is uncertain about how he feels or whether or not he's still committed to the relationship. What does she say to him? Hi, honey, can I have a saliva swab so I can test whether or not you're committed, or what?
Well, that's a great question. And we know that in a long-term relationship, often stress can make the people feel uncertain because it pulls the brain back out of the area of love. So when a woman feels uncertain, she may want to sit down and talk with them and say, look, I've got these kind of feelings. I think you still love me. I just want to be certain. And oftentimes a guy will be like, of course I am. What can I do to help you? Or what can I? And one of the things that she may suggest is, well, I know that this test, I would love it if you would take this test. I've heard of it, I could feel certain. Now, she may broach the subject, or if the guy, he may actually do it himself, where he knows that this is going on. She maybe have expressed something, and instead of bringing home flowers or candy or something like that, he can bring home this test and say, look, baby, I just want you to know that you're still the one, that I still only have eyes for you.
Wow, that was a good scenario, Dawn. Instead of flowers and candy, you're bringing home an instant devotion test. I like that. Now, I know, and I have to ask you, because I'm sure my listeners who are men are saying, what? A devotion test? What kind of percentage of certainty? I mean, we know with a pregnancy test, you know, it's 90% or 99% certain. What is the certainty? Could I be stressed and have it changed? How do I know who's going to tell me and it's going to have implications for my relationship? So what do you tell men with all those concerns?
Well, from the biomarker that we found and the research that we found, this is pretty much foolproof. You don't get a response. It's kind of like a pregnancy test where the pregnancy test is plus or minus. You don't really get a response unless you're pregnant. It's a similar with a man is if he's in a, if he's committed in a relationship, we get, you don't get a response. You only get a response when he's thinking about leaving or he's pursuing other relationships.
I see. So, but when you send back the results, what will it say?
It's basically plus or minus. So we're still setting up the, we're working on a reader. And if you look at our Kickstarter program or if you look at the website is devotiontest.com, you'll see it has like a little reader with a heart on it. And it basically, that's the indicator that it's love.
Right. So I won't have to send it to a laboratory. I will know instantly, just like a pregnancy test, whether or not my man, my partner here, is committed or not. Is that the case?
That's correct.
Wow. And were you surprised that no one else had developed this test before you?
Absolutely. I was looking through patents and saying, nobody's thought about this. And I went to a company that specializes in, it's called a lateral flow assay. It's similar to the pregnancy test. And, you know, I was like, is there out there? They said, no. And I talked to the patent attorney who is the premier guy on lateral flow assay. And he's like, nah, I got nothing like this.
Wow. So no one else. So this is really groundbreaking. Very interesting. I can't wait to follow the response in the media. And listeners, what are you going to think or what do you think about the devotion test? Please email me, leave comments.
The other thing that's really great is for women that are thinking about getting into a relationship and becoming sexual with a guy, then she wants to make sure he's serious.
Wow. So I could do this test before I have sex with someone, right?
Exactly.
And it, again, it would be instant. Wow. I can't, that's a whole nother scenario, right?
Yes.
We're passionately, whatever, doing whatever in my apartment or my home. And before I actually get sexually involved, I say, excuse me, can you take this test? Fascinating, Dawn. Now, as you know, I've been studying what keeps couples together and what breaks couples apart for the past 30 years. And at the end of all my programs, because we just have a few minutes left, I like to ask my guests, what do you think is the number one most important factor that keeps couples together and happy? So what would you say, Dawn? What's the number one factor that keeps couples happy and together?
Well, from my research, what I found in that is the ability to maintain positive illusions of the other. In mm-hmm. other words, you continue to look for the good in the other person that you're with. So
wow.
if you start with criticisms and judgment and those type of things where you start judging the other person as failing, that will cause distress, that will cause a sever in that loving feeling.
Excellent. Well, positive illusions then. Optimistic, positive illusion of our partner. Great answer, Dawn. Thank you so much for joining us today. I love talking to you. You're doing great, great work. And listeners, thank you. And listeners, the best way to connect with Dawn Maslar is through her website at Dawn Maslar, MASLAR.com. You can also follow her on Facebook at Dawn Maslar or at Love Biologist. And she's also on Twitter at Dawn Maslar. As so always, thanks for listening, listeners. I appreciate you. I am Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where you can sign up for my free monthly newsletter, where I provide you with simple, practical, science-based relationship advice. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.